Hey friends, I'm Brian Dwyer, and you're listening to the Sermon Link podcast from Pursue God. Today's message was originally recorded at Alpine Church in Utah. We've adapted this sermon into a series designed for deeper conversation with your family, your small group, or your mentor. You can find the full series and resources at pursuegod.org.
Good morning, everybody. And we're so glad that you're here. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to 1 Samuel 27. We're going to get there eventually. But before we get there, let me just kind of catch you up on where we are. We're in week number 5 of our David series, 6 weeks total. It's been great. And some of these stories we've heard of, like the story of David and Goliath, young David and Goliath, and some of the stories of David's anointing and different things. But this morning's message is one that probably very few of you will remember. Maybe you've read it. If you've read the Bible, you've read these stories. But today I want to draw out some lessons from this story in David's life. Before I do, let me just kind of set this up by getting you to think about journeys and destinations. How many of you use a maps app when you get into the car and you're going somewhere that you're not really sure where you're going? Raise your hand. That's all right. We should, I think hopefully it should be all of us that we do this. Okay, good. So most of us these days, we know how to use those apps. I just got to ask this follow-up question. How many of you sometimes think you're smarter than that app, right? Just another show of hands. I see young people raising their dad's hand for them right now, because we know it's all the dads in here that sometimes you put in a destination and you look at that, you're like, that shouldn't take me 24 minutes. I can get there faster than that. And so I've done this several times. We try to outsmart the app, and then halfway through the journey is when our loving wife turns to us and said, you should have just followed the app, right? Why did you think you were smarter than... My son reminded me that I even did this in Rome, Italy. Rome, Italy. We're walking somewhere to some restaurant. I look at this and I'm like, I've never been to Rome before. I'm like, I think I can get there quicker. And the reason is because this is what I do. I'm kind of a visual learner. I zoom out on the phone. I zoom out. I'm like, well, it looks like this would be better if we took this route instead. And so sometimes we do this. We zoom out. We've got this destination. We want to get to the destination. But sometimes there are detours along the way. Sometimes the map knows better than you do that there are detours, or this road is closed, or this is a one way. And so sometimes you just need to just trust. Not all the time, but most of the time, you just need to trust that that app is smarter than you. And the same is true for God. God has got a journey. He's got a destination for us. He's made promises to us. And sometimes we look at this and we want to zoom out on this thing in our lives, and we want to say, I think I can get there quicker. I think I know better than God, and I think I can get there quicker. And this was kind of what we're learning in David's life. If you're here a few weeks ago, we saw that David gets anointed as a teenager. Saul was the king of Israel, and God, because of some things we learned in week number 1, that because of Saul's heart and his disobedience and his lack of submission to God, he releases the anointing from Saul. He takes it off of Saul, and he puts the anointing on this no-named, nobody shepherd boy, who's probably a teenager at the time that he anoints David. And so remember, Samuel goes, the prophet of God goes, and he anoints David. And David now is in front of all of his older brothers. David gets this anointing, and he's anointed the new king. But remember what happens is that kingdom isn't going to be his for another 10 or 20 years. And so David receives the anointing. He receives, let's say it like this, he receives the promise. So in a sense, it's like he could zoom out on that Maps app. If he's a visual learner like me, he could zoom out and say, I know where we're going. I can't wait to get there. It should only take a few days. But it took David probably 15 years before he actually wore the throne. And today, we're going to see how that story happened. Today, we're finally going to see how David receives the throne, and he finally receives this promise. And I want you to be thinking about in your own life, when God has made some promises in your own life, there's some things God has given you, a vision for your own life. We talked in week 2 of this series that with the promise comes the process, that we need to submit to a process as much as we need to trust in the promise of God. Some of you are living in a marriage right now that is less than what you want. It's a marriage where you felt like when you start, it's like, our life is going to be so good. And here you are 10 or 15 or 20 years into it. And you're like, it's just not as good. And it's so easy. It's so easy to settle for, it's just not that good. I don't want to cause any waves. But God wants that marriage to be fulfilling. He wants that marriage to be great. Some of you, maybe you've been kind of working in a job, but you recognize it's not the ultimate destination. And it's so easy, though, sometimes just to be so discouraged and frustrated that you end up settling for something that you know isn't the ultimate thing that God has called you to. Or maybe think about it in faith. Some of you, and I love this about all of our campuses, every single week we have people coming to our campuses who are new to this Christianity thing, and you would say, I'm not technically a Christian yet. I haven't yet fully signed up for this. I'm still dipping my toe in the water. By the way, I just want to say we're so glad that you're coming. We hope that you would continue to come. But today, maybe today is a day when you're going to just say, you know what, I'm not going to settle for less than what God really wants for me. He wants more than just for you to just be sort of attached on the fringe to a church like Alpine. He wants you to go all in. He wants you to have a relationship with Jesus. That's the promise he has for you. Not just dipping your toe in the water forever. Today, we're going to talk about how it's easy to settle for the thing that is not the ultimate destination that God has for us. And in David's life, that was called Ziklag. Let's go to the text. I'm going to explain it. 1 Samuel 27, verse 1, it says this. But David kept thinking to himself. He's been on the run for over a dozen years now. Saul's trying to kill him. And David says, someday Saul is going to get me. Remember, Saul's the guy who's throwing spears at him. Saul's the guy who's literally hunting David down. He's sending his army to hunt down David because Saul knows that David is the new anointed of God. And Saul's not good with that. And so David is thinking to himself, the best thing I can do is escape to the Philistines. Isn't that funny? To the Philistines? I mean, this is probably a dozen or more years after he beat the Philistine giant in battle. And now he's saying, maybe that's where I should go. Maybe that's where the app is going to take me. And so he says, thinking to himself, Saul will then stop hunting for me in Israelite territory. And I will finally be safe. This is how he's thinking. Verse 2. So David took his 600 men and went over and joined Achish, son of Maok, the king of Gath. So he goes, he's just sick and tired of waiting for the promise. I mean, can you relate? He's sick and tired of waiting for the promise. It's been long enough. God hasn't delivered yet. His discouragement brings him outside of Israel, brings him into enemy territory, and he shows up in the territory of the Philistines. Verse 6, it says, so Achish gave him the town of Ziklag, which still belongs to the kings of Judah to this day. He gives him a town in Philistine territory. And verse 7 says this, and they lived there, so he and his 600 men and their families. It says, then they lived there among the Philistines, watch this, for a year and 4 months. Now, I know we haven't covered David's entire story, but let me just summarize it for you. David, since his anointing, has basically been on the run for over 12 years. This is finally a place where he gets peace and quiet and rest. I want you to think about that for a second. He's got a home base, finally. He's got safety from Saul. He has 600 loyal warriors. That's pretty good. That's not bad. That's a lot of loyal. He's got 600 loyal warriors. These are men who are like, we believe in you. We know you're the anointed one. We will fight to the death for you, David. He's got 600 loyal warriors and their families. He has a sense of belonging and peace finally in Ziklag. David could have settled in Ziklag. In his mind, He could have said, this is good enough. This is good enough. I mean, why mess with it? Like, God gave me this promise, but maybe it was something I ate back then. I don't know. I don't know what that was all about, but clearly he hasn't delivered yet. David could have settled in Ziklag. I want you to think about this. There will always be Ziklags in our lives. Places that feel secure and familiar and safe, but they're not the promise. I want you to think about what your Ziklag is. I want you to think about what your place is where you're like, this is the good enough place. It's good enough. I'll settle for this instead of what I know God really wants for me, instead of what I know God has already said he wanted to give me, he's already anointed me for. God had spoken to David that he would have every town in Israel, that he would be the ruler over every family in Israel. And here he is in Ziklag, one town. It wasn't even in Israel. 600 families. And he could have said, good enough. We don't know for sure what Ziklag means. It's actually a Philistine name. But a lot of scholars think that Ziklag means what it sounds like, zigzag. That Ziklag means zigzagging, which I love. I just think that's brilliant when you think about your maps app, right? It's like, God has brought me over here. He's zigzagged me to over here, and I'm fine with my little zigzag. This is good enough. I'll just settle here. I'm comfortable here. It's good enough. But I want you to know, as we read on in the story, that sometimes God will take those places where you're comfortable. Some of you are single, young people. You're single, and you know that God has a spouse for you, but you're like, this is good enough. I'll just stay here. And it's so easy when you're at this place to give up on the vision that God has for you in a marriage. You know that marriage is good. I know our culture doesn't say that anymore. Marriage is good. Families are good. Children are good. This is good. God said when he created Adam, it is not good for man to be alone. God has something more for some of you young people. Maybe that's your Ziklag. Your Ziklag, that zigzag, is that place where you're like, this is good enough. I'll settle for this. It's fine. And God has something more for you. Here's what will happen. This is what happened in David's life. Sometimes God will burn down your Ziklag to push you out of that place of comfort and security. And that's exactly what happened to David. He and his warriors go and they go on this battle. They go battle out in some area and they get back. It says this in 1 Samuel 30. It says, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they'd been there for a year and 4 months. They get back there and they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. Verse 2, they had carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. So much for settling in Ziklag. So David and his men get back to Ziklag this place that they'd finally had some comfort and some peace and some security, and all of a sudden they found it burning. Here's what to do when your life is in ruins. Some of you, maybe that's exactly where you are, is your Ziklag is burning. Your life is in ruins. 4 things, just real quick. It's a little sermon within a sermon. 4 things that David does here. Number 1, weep honestly. Verse 3, it says, when David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. So number 1 is just be honest. It's okay. Grief is okay. It's okay when for some of you, this is what you need to do. You need to say, I'm weeping over this thing that I thought was good, this thing I thought God had given me, this thing that was going to be good enough for me. Number 1, weep honestly. Number 2, find strength in the Lord. Verse 6 says this, David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters. And they began to talk of stoning David. Could you imagine? David's like, great. Now even my 600 faithful men have turned on me. Like, this is the pinnacle of the depths. Those are 2 different things. This is the deepest depths for David. His faithful men, the only guys he had left, they want to stone him now. So he doesn't have his wife. He doesn't have his kids. He doesn't have any warrior now faithful to him. They all want to turn on him. And look at what it says next. I love this. It says, but David found strength in the Lord his God. I love that about David's story. Again, we're learning that David is not perfect. David, there's lots of ups and downs in David's life, but one of the things that we see over and over in David's life, and this is, I think, why the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, is because whether he's at the peak or whether he's in the valley, he always turned to the Lord, no matter what. And it says that he found strength in the Lord his God. Number three, what do you do when your Ziklag is burning? Inquire of the Lord. Go to God and say, what should I do next? Verse 8, it says, and David asked of the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? He didn't know. He didn't know whether his wife and kids were dead. He had no idea. So he went to God. He says, what should I do? I don't even know what to do. Some of you, that might be the place you're in right now, as you feel like God has taken that thing away that was comfortable to you, but it's because he wants to push you forward and you need to hit your knees and say, God, show me, teach me. What do I do next? I'm kind of lost here. You've taken me on this detour. I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. Inquire of the Lord. That's what David did. And then number four, I love this. Obey promptly. And here's what it says in verses 8 and 9. And the Lord told David, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. And so David and his 600 men set out. Again, you can read this for yourself, but let me just tell you real quick what happened here. Verse 18 tells us, David got back everything the Amalekites had taken. Go read it, but it's pretty cool. He and his 600 men, they chase them down. Some of them get, 200 of them get tired. They can't even go on. So with just 400 men, they destroy the Amalekites. They bring back every single wife and child that was taken. Every single one of them. And they get back to Ziklag, this place of comfort and security. But I want you to hear this. They get back there, and they are still no closer to the promise, because they're still just in Ziklag. But David could have said, good enough. I quit. I quit on God's promise. It's just been too much. It's just been too much. Some of you, that's how you are. It's like, this has been too much. I just want to quit on God. I don't know if I trust God. I don't know if I believe in God. I'm not even sure what I think about all this. Like, because you've believed some lies about God that if you follow God, if you start pursuing God, that your life's going to be great. It's going to be like this up and to the right experience. And that's just not what we see in Scripture. And friends, it's not what you see in your life. Your journey with God is going to be filled with ups and downs and detours. That's what my life has been. Ups and downs and detours. And the question is, are you going to quit in Ziklag? David could have, but I want you to see what happens as we turn to the next book of the Bible, 2 Samuel, because this is where 1 Samuel ends. And 2 Samuel begins with these words. David returned from his victory over the Amalekites. And do the math with me here. And he spent 2 days in Ziklag. And on the third day, a man arrived from Saul's army camp. And the man said, Saul and his son Jonathan are dead. So do the math with me. The place where Saul, and at the end of 1 Samuel, we see this battle at Mount Gilboa, that Saul and Jonathan and the Israelites are in this battle. And during the battle, Saul and his son Jonathan die in battle at Mount Gilboa. And this messenger leaves Mount Gilboa to go to Ziklag to tell David that Saul was dead. And it was 80 miles from Mount Gilboa to Ziklag. And the messenger, to travel 80 miles back then, it would have taken 3 days. So literally what that means, if you zoom out, the Bible doesn't say this, you kind of have to piece this together, but literally if you zoom out, what that means is, while David is chasing down the Amalekites with his 400 men, getting his wife and kids back, at that same moment, while David is battling the Amalekites, Saul and Jonathan are battling in another place. David wins the victory, and at that moment, Saul dies, and now the throne would be his. If David would have quit, he literally would have quit right when God was delivering the crown to him. The point this morning, obvious, don't quit in Ziklag. The promise is closer than you think. David had no idea. Could you imagine that? He gets back to his town that was burning and his wife and kids are gone, and he could have just said, I'm done. And little did he know, he was 3 days away from the promise. 3 days away from what God had spoken to him 15 years earlier, anointing him king. This is the promise, but it's going to be a process. It's going to take a minute. It might not be up and to the right the whole time. David didn't quit in Ziklag, and neither should we. Here's what God says through his prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 55:11. It says, so it is with my word. I send it out. I love this. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. God has spoken a promise over our lives, and he will accomplish that even though there might be a detour along the way, even though there might be a zigzag along the way, there might be a zigzag along the way. You might end up settling for this place and you say, this is good enough. I know this marriage isn't perfect, but I feel like if we push too hard, it's going to create more problems. You know what? God's got something better for your marriage. It's worth trusting him for the promise. For those of you young people who are just like, it's good enough. I feel like I've got what I want. Relationships are too hard. The older you get, the more selfish you get. Can I get an amen? The older you get, all the old people said amen. All the young people, you don't even know this yet, do you? It's just easy, and I don't need to bring complicated. God said it is not good for man to be alone. That's not to say that some people aren't called into the single life, but for most of you, look, don't quit on God. He has something good for you. And again, most importantly, those people who have been coming to church, and I know people watching at our different campuses and right here in Riverdale also, like maybe you've been coming and you've been like, this has been good. It's been helpful for me. Like I'm good. I'm just good with like Ziklag. I'm good with just being kind of on the fringe. I don't need to go all in. I don't know if I need to give Jesus my whole life. I don't know if I need to trust Jesus for salvation. This is good enough, but look, this is what the enemy whispers into your ear. He wants you to stop short of the promise of salvation. The Bible says that Jesus went to his own Ziklag, and it was the cross. Now, his problems didn't put him there. Your problems and my problems put him there. Jesus endured this detour so that we could receive the promise of salvation. And I want you to know today, if you're here and you would say, I've never placed my faith in Jesus. I've never trusted Jesus for salvation because I felt like it was good enough just to start going to church again. And I've been going to church again. Is that good enough? That's actually, you know, going to church, I've said this so many times, but it's been a while. Going to church every day doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in your garage every day makes you a car. Doesn't change anything about you to go. It's good that you're going to church. We're glad you're going to church. But the Bible says that when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, when you personally place your faith in Jesus Christ, that's when you become a Christian. That's when you receive the promise that Jesus died to give to you. And today, I just, as I thought about this message, I just thought that this would be a good sermon to end by inviting those of you who haven't actually ever received that promise to do that today at our campuses watching, maybe even some of you watching from home online or some of you here today at our Riverdale campus. If you've been coming, but you've stopped short of the destination, the promised destination, you stop short of salvation. You stop short of personally making a profession of faith and saying, Jesus, I recognize I'm broken. I recognize I'm a sinner. I want to go all in for you. You've stopped short of that. Today, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. Don't settle for Ziklag. The promise of salvation is yours. What I want to do today is I want to ask everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to just pray this. We do this sometimes at Alpine. I'm just going to pray this prayer. And if you're here and you have never personally trusted Jesus for salvation, you've been coming to church, but you've never personally trusted Jesus for salvation, you've been stopping short of the promise. And today I want to help you to arrive at the promise. And I want to invite you to pray a prayer like this with me, just in your heart. Just say, Jesus, I recognize I'm a sinner. I recognize I'm broken. And today, Lord Jesus, I put my faith in you. I don't want to stop short of the promise anymore. I don't want to just be a churchgoer. I don't want to just be a good person. I want to become a follower of Jesus. And so today I profess my faith in you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for going to your Ziklag so that I could receive the promise of salvation. I receive that today in Jesus' name. Amen.